Blog Talk Radio.
This is the first time in our history that this ceremony has been held, as you've been told, on this west front of the Capitol. Standing here, one faces a magnificent vista opening up on this city's special beauty and history. At the end of this open mall are those shrines to the giants on whose shoulders we stand. Directly in front of me, a monument to a monumental man, George Washington, father of our country. A man of humility who came to greatness reluctantly. He led America out of revolutionary victory into infant nationhood. Off to one side, the stately memorial to Thomas Jefferson, a Declaration of Independence flames with his eloquence. And then beyond the reflecting pool, the dignified columns of the Lincoln Memorial. Whoever would understand in his heart the meaning of America will find it in the life of Abraham Lincoln. Beyond those monuments to heroism, is the Potomac River, and on the far shore, the sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David. They add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small town barber shop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. The crisis we're facing today does not require of us the kind of sacrifice that Martin Treptow and so many thousands of others were called upon to make. It does require, however, our best effort and our willingness to believe in ourselves and to believe in our capacity to perform great deeds, to believe that together, with God's help, we can and will resolve the problems which now confront us. And after all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans. God bless you and thank you. Thank you very much.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're grateful that you've tuned in. As always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us, come and learn with us. And we are so grateful to be joined by two wonderful people, Ms. Linda Murphy from Oklahoma and Ms. Barbara Moore. But as always, we like to give the show to God in prayer because we certainly do need his help every day. And for such a time as this, most especially. So, Ms. Barbara, I'm going to turn it over to you. Hi, how are you doing today, Ms. Barbara?
Yes, and looking forward to the show tonight with our dear friend, Linda Murphy. So let's give this to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, oh God, for all that you're doing for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that... We thank you for your love, your mercy, your forgiveness, your compassion. We thank you, Father, for the plans that you have for us. We thank you, Father, for your will for our lives. And I pray, Father, that that we would honor you in thought, word, and deed, and Father, that we would greatly desire your will to be worked out in our lives, and that, Lord, that we would follow you, follow your teaching, live in your presence, and be ever mindful, Father, of the provision and protection that you give us every day. We thank you for your word, Father. Your word tells us that you order our steps when we allow you to. And that, Father, that as we are with you, Lord, that we can do the things that you call us to do, the things that you want us to do. Help us, Father, as we try to do what's right, Father, with our children, our grandchildren, the school systems. Father, empower us in every way, Father, to protect our children and to protect the future of this country. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we pray for our Marines, Father, all of our troops, Lord, but particularly those, Father, that are in harm's way at this point, at this time. And we pray for our leaders, Father, that they would seek you and your wisdom and your will and be brave and bold, oh God, and that you would give them wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in the precious and powerful name of our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. Always so grateful for your prayers. And we are joined by Ms. Linda Murphy. Hi, Mrs. Linda.
Hi.
How are you?
Hey there. Hi, I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, we're doing good. I'm just so grateful for y'all because y'all all helped set me back on an even keel. I almost feel like, you know how it is when a picture is hung sideways, wrong, you know, that you just feel so, you know, just tense and you got to set things straight. I kind of feel that way with the state of our nation. Like, you know, it's out of whack. I think,
yes.
You know, everywhere we see. And as bad as I feel, Ms. Linda, and I'm usually fairly easygoing, you know, but little things stress me out because I see the big things. They are huge. So everything is stressing me out. So it's so good. And Ms. Barbara and me hadn't been on really for a while. It's so good to come back because we know when we come back to the show, we always start off in prayer and we talk about the problems and we give it to God. And there's just something very healing about knowing that you can give it to an almighty God who willingly wants to hear you. So I'm
yes.
grateful that you are taking the time to come. But I want to just tell the listeners, too, we have a website, standthegapnow.com, that we're going to be having what we call, Ms. Barbara called it, Coffee and Common Core meetings to help parents locally know what's going on. It's going to be at local area restaurants. We're just going to have T-shirts on. It's going to be all over
Good.
The state, and we're just going to be there. And, you know, the T-shirt draw a lot of questions is what we found out. So we're going to be
yes.
there just to answer questions. We're going to try to get the word of mouth that we're going to be at such and such a little country store, restaurant, whatever. And come join us. Come and learn with us. Let's talk about your problems and, you know, let us help you with it. So that's what we're going to try to do with this Common Core thing. It is such a big problem. But I do realize today's President's Day, and I think I just skipped. Ms. Barbara probably has something to say about President's Day. Ms. Barbara, would you like to... I just love our presidents, especially George Washington, and I was just really thinking about him today. But go ahead.
Well, actually, Diana, I abhor President's Day, lumping all the presidents together, the bad in with the good. I actually boycott it. I observe February 22nd, George Washington's birthday, and so... Sorry about that.
Oh, well, he was the one I was thinking of anyway, Ms. Barbara. When I think of president, I think of the very best, the beginning. And you know,
That's
he
right.
loved the Lord, something that we are unfortunately, being told that, you know, our rights do not come from God. They come from man. Did y'all see the interview with Judge Moore? And I don't know the first name of the young man. I think NBC, Cuomo something was the guy's last name. And I feel like, you know, God is using Judge Moore to teach Americans where their rights come from. I mean, really, the foundation of their freedom, because we don't know it. Most of us don't know it. And he certainly did that Cuomo. I think Judge Moore felt sorry for him. He's like teaching a child.
He probably did.
Yes. You know, there is just ignorance in it for someone that doesn't know that our law was based on biblical law. That is just a basic understanding. And even here's an adult man that's been political for all of his life who doesn't know that.
Well, that's what he's been taught.
Yes.
They do learn what they're taught. And unfortunately, you know,
right.
We have generations now that have been taught that. And it is so sad. But yeah, at the beginning, all our civil law was based upon biblical law. Thou shalt not steal. Well, we had laws against stealing. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not murder. Laws against murder. And, you know, even the cities of refuge, you know, we have varying degrees of, manslaughter if the murder was unintentional. You know, it, just as that was based upon the cities of refuge of the Old Testament, and that, you know, even the Supreme Court justices rode the circuit at the beginning under the Constitution. They rode the circuit because that was based upon the judges of the Old Testament riding the circuit. That's how it was done.
Uh-huh.
The judges would go to the people instead of the people to the judges. So, I mean,
yes.
Just on and on and on, you know. And
yes.
So
well, I think we're going to be doing something. We're going to be doing that, Ms. Barbara. We're going to be riding the circuit. We're not judges. So we're going to have this coffee in common core, and we're going to be
going across our state.
And what an opportunity to build relationships, Ms. Linda, because the fight is so big. We have to do it locally, statewide, and also national, which I wanted to ask you, because I think a lot of us, it kind of just, we're fighting statewide, locally, and then, you know, here's time, and they're trying to make plans to reauthorize the Elementary Secondary Education Act. So if you don't mind, tell us your perspective on how we should treat that.
Well, there are several things going on as far as the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, which also contains No Child Left Behind. That's where it's actually included. This is the rewriting of the act, which was first written in 1965 under President Johnson, part of his big plans. And, of course, George Bush, President Bush, put in the No Child Left Behind then when he came into office for testing. And that's what really took hold as far as the high-stakes testing that we're seeing now and Common Core that's developed on further with the standards and testing aligning and the federal government having a coercive role in that to put up money for an incentive to get states into it. So what we see happening right now in Washington, we've got several things. Lamar Alexander, senator from Tennessee, has a rewriting version that he's worked on, and he wants to greatly expand the federal government's control. This is not a version that I'll support at all, obviously. I'd like to do away with the whole federal Department of Ed and some of the money that needs to go to states for, say, Indian tribes, impact aid for military bases. There are certain monies that come through the federal Department of Ed that we would probably keep, of course, but without that agency would be a lot better. There's no real legal basis for having it. In fact, it's illegal for the federal government to intrude. So we have people like Senator Grassley in Iowa, along with Senator Inhofe in Oklahoma, Senator Portman in Ohio, have all joined together with a few other senators to write a piece that would keep the federal government out of the coercion for Common Core that they've done through these ways they get a hold. And so that's part of what's going on. Another thing is there is a Senate bill. Ted Cruz, Senator Cruz out of Texas, Rand Paul, Senator Rand Paul out of Kentucky, and Senator Lankford from Oklahoma, along with a few others, have a bill that would stop the testing, the Common Core testing, and all of the testing that is required through No Child Left Behind. So that would be quite a great accomplishment. I mean, we'd like to get rid of the whole thing. But for where we are today, if we could just get rid of the testing on the federal level, that would certainly make it much easier for states to get free. We're fighting for that freedom anyway in our states, and we've pushed back quite a lot. You know, in Oklahoma, the Federal Department of Ed told us that we would not be able to have a waiver from that No Child Left Behind regulation because we had repealed Common Core state standards. We did that last spring with House Bill 3399 in Oklahoma, and we repealed these English language arts and math standards. The Federal Department of Ed didn't like that, you know, us getting free, cutting those binds that they had on us, binding us up, and told us that we would be losing our waiver. But as it came out, we continued in there, did our homework, researched, and kept pushing to get our freedom that we actually should never have had to be fighting for again. But we found that our higher education institutions could declare our standards that we had prior to Common Core, that they could declare those to be college and career ready. Well, it turned out Fordham Foundation had approved our standards in 2007, I believe it was, as college and career ready. So we already had that approval. And all of this becomes such a tangled web, you know. But we do have some people working in Congress, in the Senate, to get some of this coercive control through No Child Left Behind, the ESEA, pushed back, and we'll see how it develops. There's not a final answer as to how the bills will, you know, be in the end, but they're working on the process right now. One came out of a congressional committee the other day that I don't care for the bill. It's an ESEA rewrite bill. I don't care for the bill, but our Congressman Steve Russell in Oklahoma got an amendment on it to protect student information, which certainly helps. You know, that will help. But it's kind of like fixing the monster, you know.
Yeah.
Just making one little bit of it better. Not tolerable, really, but a little easier, maybe.
Yeah, tweaking the monster. When Oklahoma repealed Common Core, did you do it through the school board or the legislature?
In our state, it was put into law by the legislature, so we actually repealed the law through the legislature. But I know in Alabama, yours was passed through the state school board. So you do have the authority there to repeal it through the school board, state school board, but you also have the legal authority for the legislature to repeal it, because they have authority
That's
over
right.
the school board. So it could
That's
be done
right.
either way in Alabama.
Well,
so you have two options.
I wish our legislators knew that. They continue to deny it, that they have any authority over the school board or over education.
Well, they'd rather not deal with it. We know it's a hot potato. We sure see Jeb Bush on the presidential campaign trail having met that Common Core problem out there that he, I don't think, expected to see rise up to be that high of a level problem for him, you know, because he supports Common Core. He's had lots of opposition around the country, And we see it now as a national issue in the presidential race. So that's a good thing, that we have had such opposition.
Yeah, it is a good thing. Linda, one of the sections of our Alabama Constitution states that there will be no appropriation made to any educational institution not under the absolute control of the state, except by a vote of 2/3 of all the members elected to each house in the legislature. Common Core is not under the direct control of the state, even though the state board approved it. It is not.
That's right, because Common Core state standards, CCSS, Common Core state standards, are actually owned, copyrighted, and then licensed to states. And the owners are the National Governors Association and the chief state school officers. But the NGA, the National Governors Association, are the controlling entity there. And it says in the copyright that any disputes with Common Core state standards will be settled in Washington, D.C. courts. So this is a legal matter. It's much more of a legal binding agreement than most people have realized. They think it's just a set of standards. We hear that over and over by those who have supported Common Core standards. And I think what happens most of the time is these people who continue to support it without really looking into what it is, they are unaware, so they're actually ignorant of this information. They don't seek it out. They don't research to find out. And most of the time they don't listen when people are trying to tell them facts that are, very well documented. Because they've made up their mind. What I find most of the time is they've made up their mind that the opposition is just a group of people that are wrong. And that's it. So they don't listen. They don't listen to the information. But this is where we have to continue to work statewide, as you are there. And it's a wonderful thing to go community to community, to cafes, restaurants, PTOs, church groups, people connecting just wherever people meet and talk together to share this information and get it out there in more and more hands until it's such an overswelling number of people calling their legislators to get this stopped that they will have to respond. They start hearing this from their golfing buddy, from their wife's best friend, from someone that knows them and can reach them. That starts making a difference across the state.
Well, I pray that all efforts will just prosper against this. We just have to do everything we can do to fight it, and to build those relationships and share information. I believe it will be very helpful. Even when we're wearing our shirts, Stop Common Core shirts. Even a few of us, or one even, people do stop you and ask or share things with you,
Yes.
So it's important.
I agree. And, I know I mentioned this a while ago, but this is the kind of marketing and messaging that we can't, that we could never pay for. We couldn't raise the money to pay for this from grassroots people, but the presidential campaign coming up, we're going to continue to hear about Common Core because there are a number of candidates stepping out there on the Republican side of candidacy that are opposing Common Core now. And even Chris Christie, who has said, he's for it and he has been for it, is saying now that he's not. So, that shows you the tide that's turned significantly in the last year. Of course, we have Bobby Jindal and Scott Walker, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, I can't even think of the rest, but there are a number of candidates who have already come out and said they're opposing Common Core state standards.
And Ms.
So,
Linda, I think, and Ms. Barbara, I think, too, like you said, Ms. Linda, I was wanting to say the same thing, is that's a great point about the national limelight, because Common Core is right now just, you know, one of the top issues. And I think, you know, one of the litmus tests, two litmus tests, which they go together, get rid of Federal Department of Education and Common Core. You know, I think those are things that, okay, I'm for you if you can do that.
Well, they've betrayed our trust. They've betrayed it. Linda, I wanted to ask if you have any ideas for us here in Alabama regarding the Alabama Southern Baptist pastors, their convention, and the resolution, the strong resolution that they came out against the 2020 plan, against Common Core, and all of that.
Yes.
Do you have any ideas? We've thought about, you know, letters to the editor and things of, like that, but I was just wondering if you have any other ideas how we could use this effectively.
Uh-huh. You know, I'm wondering if, you know, Miss Uni Smith with Alabama Eagle Forum, of course, is the president of Eagle Forum in Alabama. She also is a Baptist, I believe, I'm sure, and a part of that convention at times. And I would think there might be meetings in churches regarding family issues. I don't know if they have those or not in any kind of regular, you know, meeting plan. But if there was a way where you could just go speak to families at churches, you know, that would be a good thing.
Yeah.
The Family Life Program, I think, is what they've called it in the past. But I'm really not familiar with exactly how they're doing that in Alabama, of course. I know Richard Land was the head of the, I believe it was the Family Life Department for the Southern Baptist Convention at one time. And he was on the radio, and he talked about family issues and social issues. I just don't know how they're handling that now, if there would be a way that meetings could be set up, because it's already been endorsed, you know, as a position by the convention. So it wouldn't be, you know, a controversial issue to bring information into more people about it. So I don't know if that's a possibility, but I would consider, you know, see if you could do something that way.
All right. Well, we'll look into that. Thank you.
Okay. Sure. Sure, and you know, you might have people speaking. You might have people speaking on more local talk shows. We've done quite a bit of that here. You know, just some of your people across the state, see if they have a local talk show in their area, and maybe someone who could speak on the radio would go, you know, might maybe even call in like we're doing here tonight, and do some interviews to just get some information out. You know, give your contact information, sort of a public service, you know, that this is information parents in Alabama are asking for.
Right.
Well,
so
I'm glad
that's
say that we do have some letters to the editor that was sent out over the weekend. I had gotten an email about one person that had done one, and I think it was done on a couple of newspapers. And so I think people are starting to do the letter to the editor, which I think if everybody would do one in their own county, you know,
exactly,
it would be huge. And then as you said, being able
to
talk to the churches. But another thing, too, I wanted to also just point out to Ms. Linda, when you said that about the national effect that Common Core is having with election, one lady said that this may be the year she felt that we would repeal Common Core, and I think that is because of the national is really going to push that issue so big that the, some of these legislators know that they're going to have, they start running already for their election in 2016. And but now what they're going to push in our state is charter schools. You know, they're going to switch the bait and switch, which if you don't mind, share with the listeners how wonderful charter schools are.
Well, you know, the ideal charter school would be a good teacher and some parents that want to start a school and produce good results in their local communities and have the freedom to, you know, teach the children in the best methods as they decide. And that would be wonderful. But the reality of charter schools is that mostly what we see are corporate-owned charters that have no local school board, and they can be selective on the students that they bring into the system. And without a local school board, the parents really have no voice in the curriculum or what's done in the system. And we found that around the country and in Oklahoma, things were set up this way, and we're dismantling piece by piece a lot of this here. I mean, we're working on it. It's, it doesn't just happen. We know that, so I don't mean to make light of it. We're working on it. But the system that is requiring schools to perform with tests that haven't even been validated yet, and the students then, if they fail at too high of a rate, the school can be closed. And all of this really goes back to No Child Left Behind. You know, we're tied back into to that performance system with testing. And up front, it sounds okay, but the it is not fair. It is not actually assessing good academic performance. The standards have to be set first, and then the testing naturally would follow that. But a lot of times we've got the testing in before the standards are known, and it's really just a mishmash. It's not aligned so that it's a fair system. And so what we see is all over the country, schools are being closed in different areas without a real fair way to evaluate them. And instead of a public school, a charter corporate-owned school comes in. And then it's really not a neighborhood school. It's not locally controlled. There's not a local school board. So I'm very concerned about that. I mean, we can say, oh, corporations are always wonderful, you know, full of wonderful people that always do what's good and right. Well, these are people that are looking to make profit with public money going into their hands instead of into a local school. So I think our first obligation and our first best results will be to work to improve our local public schools. And then if there are charters that are really good, they can prove themselves, but I just do not support giving the public money over to private hands. The only way
but
I
now,
support
Ms. Linda,
that...
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Ms. Linda.
The only way I support that, and I don't even know anyone doing this, but if there were tax credits that go back to the parents who pay the taxes, if they get their money back and can use it for tuition in a private school or for homeschool expense, I could support that. So that's one way we could help parents pay tuitions. But to put the money into the government system and then give it back to the parents, it's got the strings tied to it. In fact, I listened to debate today at the Oklahoma State Capitol, and there were two bills that came up. And in one, the details were brought out on the table that actually if homeschoolers use this savings account for education, which was government money given to the parents to pay tuition, private school or homeschool, if they did, they would have to report to the state with their testing results. Well, in Oklahoma, we don't have to do that. We have thousands of homeschoolers in Oklahoma, and they don't have to report anything to the local school. They don't have to even let them know they're homeschooling. We have that kind of freedom in our state constitution for homeschooling. So it's really a slippery slope. So I say public money going into private hands brings the government into that private situation. whether it be a private school or your private home.
Wow.
And then
wow.
charters
Thank
is
you
just
for
another
that.
Side of that coin. Uh-huh. Sure.
Thank you for that, Ms. Linda. And also, I would like to point out, as somebody had told me, who now I think she's a reporter for Breitbart, she has said that every charter school in California is now Common Core aligned because of the testing. And also, I think also, you know, we've been warned that, you know, if there's any money, you know, tied to it from the federal government, if you get even $1, you know, that you are.
Yes.
I mean, you can't help it. You're going to be Common Core
right.
aligned. So you're not going to be free. And I know, you know, they keep saying, oh, but, you know, maybe we can work with nonprofits. And we look at the Goulden schools, and I'm just thinking, why do we even want to do that? Why don't we just work on fixing the public school and, you know,
yes.
and go that way? So they're throwing us all
yes.
sorts of stuff. So I think you just helped us. I'm going to have to listen to you again, but you gave me some good talking points, right, Ms. Barbara?
Oh, that's right. Now, listen, ladies, I think I've had a light bulb moment. You know, we're trying to get to the parents, young parents, and those that are so busy, and it's been really hard to reach them. But baseball season is coming up real quickly, and I was thinking, you know, it gets hot, and we could make up some fans and have Common Core information on them, and
yes.
You know, baseball
wow.
games sometimes get a little long, and you know, it'd be time
That's
for
good.
Them to, you know, read the fans, and then the other thing, you know, water, cold water bottles with labels that are Stop Common Core labels or something, and of course we can wear our Stop Common Core shirts to the baseball games.
That's good.
As well. So,
that's good.
I
if
love
you
it.
Just
love
have
it,
your,
Ms. Barbara.
If you just have your contact Facebook address or your website address so they can get in touch, that just makes it so easy.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay,
also,
great.
We had balloons at one time with a campaign. We had balloons that don't have to say a lot, but just Stop Common Core and your website or your Facebook page. And then, of course, when you hand those out, that can start the conversation right there.
That's right.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, great ideas. Great ideas. I'm getting excited. I mean, I felt kind of bad until I got on with y'all. Isn't it wonderful, Ms. Barbara, just to talk it out with good friends like Ms. Linda?
That's
right. And I just think we are under so much attack. And you know, Ms. Linda, you know the
yes.
news here in Alabama, which Judge Roy Moore is in the news, which thank God he is. But
yes.
again, it's that states' right versus, you know, the federal government taking over all our rights. But I'm thinking
yes.
to myself that at some point, the example of that I saw with Cuomo, learning from Judge Moore, I think – even if you are an unbeliever, I think you would want it where your rights doesn't get snuffed out. And I think
right.
they're getting
controlled
a little
by a man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And I think they're
controlled
getting a little bit
a
of an inkling that, hey, that could happen. I mean, you look at ISIS. You look at ISIS.
Uh-huh.
You know, we've had Hitler
right.
before. And the rights of ISIS,
yes.
and I hate to say it, this administration has not helped to defend this nation.
No.
We are under so much danger right now because really of the policy, and everybody's saying it, right? It's nothing new anymore. But I just think about that, and I think the time when Common Core is growing in knowledge and not stature, but in becoming visible to a lot more is kind of a good time because they're getting to the point where parents can no longer say that can't happen because
right.
they're seeing a lot of
right.
attacks happening.
You know, when we look at what's happening in our country overall, when Certainly, I didn't agree with a lot of things about our President George W. Bush. I voted for him. I didn't vote for Al Gore for a lot of reasons. I certainly preferred George W. Bush. But right up front, he put the federal No Child Left Behind in, and I knew that that was probably coming, and it was the first thing he did with Ted Kennedy, Senator Kennedy. So, you know, not that this has been wonderful, but then when not that it was wonderful before President Obama, but when he was elected in 2008, a lot of people that are conservative Christian through the South, as we talked before, the Bible Belt of America, as you are in Alabama, we are in Oklahoma, across the South, we know that there was just great concern about this man's policies, because a lot of us had looked at what he did in Chicago, what he did in the Senate, and it wasn't his color. It's not about the color of his skin, but about his principles, about his lack of, virtue that we saw and we're concerned about, and unfortunately that has been confirmed. It's even worse, to a degree worse than many of us would have expected. Could be possible for a president to be elected this way. But in the Bible, we know that the Lord raised up people, and he raises up kings, and he brings them down, and rulers. And we get sometimes these people that are for our correction. They're for the correction of the people of God to cry out, you know, to cry out unto God for his mercy and his protection. And we certainly have seen that since Obama has taken office. There has been a great stirring. I mean, the Tea Party raised up afterward. You know, when we saw Obamacare, we're calling it Obamacare, there was Hillary Care before that. So, you know, it's not just him, but certainly he brought this to a climax and put this very destructive system to destroy our health care system and take control of it, and not just the health care itself, but also that part of the economy, that much of the money in the economy of the United States. It's a tremendous amount of control that he took. So I believe that, and now all the executive orders that are not legal, and we know they're not legal. It is refreshing, and it is a joyful thing to see someone like Roy Moore stand up in Alabama and speak to this person in truth and in power. And it is an encouragement. We must stand for our state's rights, and we must continue to fight. And we know that this presidential campaign once again brings into focus this very important issue that we've been working on, Common Core state standards across the country. And the people are paying attention and listening as these candidates are beginning to speak. And I do believe it brings that opportunity to bring it to a head in a lot of states and say, this is real. This is not just a group of parents or, you know, people on the right or whatever it gets labeled. It's much bigger than that. It's real. It's a real problem.
Miss Linda, Miss Barbara, did y'all see that? Y'all probably seen posting on Facebook about the Teacher of the Year, right? That made a, you know, just a speech about how she was going to have to leave the job that she loves by the end of the school year. Did y'all get to see that by chance?
From another state?
From Ohio. She
yes,
was a Ohio.
Yes, I did see that.
And Ms. Barbara, did you get to see that?
Yeah.
I thought that was just, you know, again, like you're saying, it gives it stature. We're talking about a Teacher of the Year that made a heart-wrenching decision, because all these things that, you know, we're seeing posted now and all the Stop Common Core pages, she knows the truth. The children are suffering. We're seeing it in all the Stop Common Core, and it just, sometimes it gets to just really, you just want to sit there and cry for these parents that are going through that with their children. And this is a teacher that I think she was very brave, but that helps too. That was so awesome coming from her.
Yes, it was powerful. I saw that. I saw that, and her administrator spoke up too. There was an article that followed that one that, you know, he was just saying how what a great loss it is for a good teacher like her to be leaving. So we have good administrators and teachers out across our states. Sometimes we don't know about that because we have heard over and over, schools are failing, schools are failing, they're the government schools, they're the government schools. And I'm not saying there's not a degree of truth there, but I think that drum has been beat so much, it's been destructive. Because what do we do? Not have public education? Do we want children on the streets that are uneducated? That would be a far worse world than what we've seen so far in America, you know, in our lifetime. We want people to become educated. And it needs to be a free and appropriate education. That's what our goals have always been. So it's a worthy fight, and it's not because I would prefer, you know, my children or my grandchildren to be in public school over homeschool. I think homeschooling is wonderful. But some people can't do it. And in some situations, they have a wonderful local public school. I've got four grandchildren that are actually in very good public school situations in Oklahoma, and their schools did not go to any great length in implementing Common Core. They were dragging their feet, and a lot of the schools across our state were dragging their feet. But had we not repealed it last spring, they would have been forced to do it this year. So that's where we have been in our state, and you know, so I'm just saying public education is a mixed bag. It's not all good. It's not all bad. And we need to be specific about what needs to be fixed and work on that. But we need to also see the good and uphold that and be thankful for those good people.
And it is about loving our brother. And so I just, and that's the Great Commission, isn't it, Miss Linda? Miss Barbara, are you back on? Can you hear? Okay. But I am grateful for all the work that you're doing, Miss Linda, and we're going to try to do our best. And you just give us so much hope and so much encouragement. And this weekend I saw, you know, you were talking about, you know, what the children will be like really with the Common Core. You know, it's not going to be an easy world. It's going to be, we thought, it's kind of like, you know, we've been talking about things are worse at a steroid, you know, like they're on steroids.
Uh-huh.
Well, I think with this Common Core, it is like that, because I was listening to some church channel talk about the rates of suicides included that's going on, you know, and mm-hmm. we know that this is so negative, and children, a lot of them, their parents don't even know what's going home. So, you know, the mm-hmm. child is getting in trouble for not making that good grade. And then parents that don't
yes.
even have the money, they're having to get tutoring. So what a strain on finances. So it is making for
yes.
a dog-eat-dog world if we allow this
yes.
to stay. And so I don't think we can allow, because I think it will kill us all. I mean, it's like self-destructing,
yes.
you know. So
I believe that.
Go ahead.
I believe that. And I believe, you know, cutting out Western civilization literature, that is very life-giving. It's about history. It's about life. It's interesting. It's enjoyable. It can be fascinating. And instead of that, having reading materials that are just industrial, that are like going to work when you're in first grade or third grade, and just reading straight copy, this is not inviting for students. And they need to want to read. They need to enjoy learning. They need to look forward to life and have hope. And literature, poetry, there are so many ways when I look back at things we read and discussed in class that made it very life-giving. And to think about an industrial-type setting where a child is just performing and being measured, that's a very scary environment. That is not hopeful.
Mm. Well, I think you give us hope, Miss Linda. I tell you, me and Miss Barbara are just amazed at how you have traveled and come and, you know, helped us out here in our state and taken so much of your precious time while you're battling, fighting the battle at home and no telling who else you are helping. But we needed your wisdom and, you know, your knowledge. And I dare say it's getting heard in Congress.
I think
it's got to be.
I think we've got some people elected, pardon me, from our state, and I'm sure, you know, many others too, but I know our representatives and senators, and they're speaking up, and they're taking a stand, and they know what we did here in our state, and they took heed. So, yes, it is reflecting back there, and I don't necessarily spend a lot of hours on the phone in Washington. When Clinton was in office, when President Clinton was in office and we were dealing with outcomes-based education, our battle was very much in Washington because it was federal law that we were dealing with. He was trying to put everything through federal law. And, of course, that didn't work, so they ran it around through the NGA this time and called it state-led because the National Governors Association, the NGA bipartisan group, said, yeah, all the governors can, you know, join in and take this back to their state. So that's what we're dealing with now in the state. But, yes, I'm really thankful to see that our congressmen and our senators are standing up. We've got a few rascals, a couple of them, that aren't helping us out, but that's very typical for them. But out
well,
of the group,
I'm
we've got a number that are.
We are disappointed in our governor. We're just praying for a miracle. He certainly is not standing up for our state's rights.
Uh-huh.
You know, we saw that with the Common Core, and now we're seeing it with the same-sex marriage. And
yes, I
we're
saw
praying
that.
For a miracle.
But, mm-hmm.
And
yes,
I can't well, even say
courage.
What I'm thinking.
You know,
of.
Sometimes they're afraid. They're just they don't have the courage to do what they know is right. But instead of that, we'll go with the political correct answer, politically correct, because there are a lot of people out there that like that, you know?
I hope we get better choices in the presidential election coming up in,
yes.
in 2 years. I think statewide, I think a lot of people are going to be more awake as to who they should vote for because, and I dare say the primary is going to be very, very different in Alabama because I don't think we've been paying the primaries the attention we should have all along.
No.
But I think we're being forced to wake up. Well, Ms. Barbara, I think kept you out. Are you still there? And do you have any more comments before we let Ms. Linda go? Okay, I don't hear Miss Barbara sometimes.
I think
she,
we lost her.
well, yeah, we may have lost her. But Miss Linda, would you like to pray before we close?
Sure. One other thing, though, I might ask you real quickly, Diana, is about your comprehensive health plan. Has that been continued to be on the table at the state board?
He has formed a committee.
Okay.
And so the committee is looking as if they can tweak it. Do you think it's tweakable, Miss Linda?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Because you would say that.
You know, the framework is designed to have mental health goals for every student, K through 12. So it's kind of like you bought the whole wrong program up front. You know, I'm certainly for counseling. I'm a special ed teacher, and I had students that had counseling frequently. I referred them for counseling. I'm not against counseling, but not where every child in K through 12th grade has goals for their mental health. That is a new door we should never go in, and that's what the Alabama Comprehensive Mental Health Plan is. And it measures the performance of the students in these mental health areas, and there will be student profiles in the data banks. All of that is set up with a framework in that plan. So, no, I don't think it's possible to tweak that one. I would throw that one in the trash and start over with another idea.
That reminds me too, Ms. Linda, because the ESCA reauthorization, the draft that I saw Alexander try to push hurriedly, but thank God was stopped, it had that as part of it, you know, is that mental health counseling. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, the idea of comprehensive mental health care for kindergarten through 12th grade, the ideas are, you know, they sound good in an ivory tower, in a think tank, in a social engineering planning session. They sound wonderful when you're planning other people's lives. You're going to make sure that there aren't any bullies, there aren't any children that commit any violent acts. You're going to make sure that all problems in their emotional life are dealt with early and, you know, taken care of before they really get too bad. You're going to do wonderful things with this. But what you are doing is going into the personal, private lives of every child, the psychological area, the area of their attitudes, values, and beliefs, emotions, and feelings, what is called the affective domain. As teachers, we're trained that there are two domain areas with students that we can work with. One is the cognitive domain, and that's where you have your thinking, your facts, knowledge, and information, your academic achievement. And then there's the affective domain that I was just speaking of, which is the emotions, feelings, attitudes, values, and beliefs. The affective domain should never be tested, evaluated, or trained without parental consent. And that would only be when a child has a significant behavioral problem. So I've certainly dealt with that area as a special ed teacher. But again, that was handled with great respect for privacy, for parental rights, for students' rights. And it would never be a door that you go into with every child. That's extreme. And so this is just a very radical, extreme effort at social engineering. And that's what Lamar Alexander and a few others in Congress have tried to do. But we have some good guys up there fighting, as I've mentioned, to not only keep it from expanding to that, but also take out some components that are there now, like the testing out of the No Child Left Behind. That would really take the heart out of that and make it so much better for us if they are able to accomplish, you know, that effort. So we do want to pray for our congressmen, our senators.
Well, and Ms. Linda, that is so scary when you're saying attitudes, values, and beliefs. And now with a same-sex marriage, I do remember that there was a David Parker, I can't remember if it was Massachusetts or Connecticut, that had just passed same-sex marriage. And they just had moved to that state. I think he was an engineer or something like that. And he found out that his child was, you know, being made to read a book called Prince on Prince, and it was first grade or kindergarten, I can't remember. It must have been first grade. But he went to the school, and would you believe it, he wanted to, and he said, I'm not going to leave here. And I knocked out for him, something like that. And he ended up being handcuffed and taken out of that school. And it's because we're just teaching about families. And so I think this is something parents need to get the gist of, is when they do pass same-sex marriage, then, you know, in that state, and probably it's happening in many of these states, they go in there and they forcefully teach the children, because it's all about just teaching about families. And what are your thoughts on that? Because, again, that is affecting attitudes, values, and beliefs.
Exactly. Well, the idea on the radical left, which has become more and more common, unfortunately, is instead of just being kind to other people, which certainly Christians are raised to be kind, to one another and to other people. That's just the way that we are, to always be as good and kind and loving as we possibly have an opportunity to be with people. But that has changed now. Instead of just being good to people and kind to people, we have to accept their beliefs, their lifestyles, and not have any disagreement in our beliefs with their beliefs, because that makes them uncomfortable. Now, this is going too far, obviously. This is taking away our freedom of religion, our freedom of really religion, of our beliefs. Our belief as Christians is to not accept as being acceptable a lifestyle that is contrary to the Word of God. That's not acceptable. Now, we don't go tell other people your lifestyle is not acceptable. That's not what the Bible even tells us to do. And I think, you know, people have definitely done that. That happens. But that is not what most Christians want to do or think of doing. We would just like to live our lives and not have the beliefs of other people forced on us, and especially on our children, because they're vulnerable. They don't know sometimes what is happening when things are being taught to them. So they can learn something or believe something that we don't even know they believe or have been taught until later. And then if it's part of their belief system, it's going to be hard to undo that. It can be undone, but it's very hard to unteach what has been taught at a young age when they're vulnerable and accepting things. So, you know, it's a very slippery slope of things that start affecting other areas. And the education of the children can be changed by people who have a political agenda to teach things that they believe are necessary for children to learn. And they make a decision, they make a values judgment against Christian parents and say, these children need to know this. So that does happen, that is happening, and this is where we have to have local control. With local school boards, we can deal with these situations. That's what happens. When I was in Florida back in September, there was a situation with a textbook that had come up, oh, just a few months earlier in a couple of the counties. I believe it was the Pearson Publishing Company published some textbooks that had 16 pages on Islam and 2 or 3 pages on Christianity and Judaism combined. So it was obviously way out of balance, with a heavy emphasis on Islam, actually teaching Islam. And there were objections when parents found out, and the county school boards were able to deal with it. Now, if we didn't have that local control, then that curriculum would just be there, and your child's going to learn whatever someone far away decides they will learn. So this is the problem with centralized control of education versus local control. And Common Core really removes local control because the standards are set learning objectives, and the curriculum will have to line up with that, or they will never pass a test on those learning objectives or standards. So the curriculum is changed in the process when you have tests that are required to be passed. And they're called high-stakes tests. So we've got those high-stakes tests. The curriculum is changing to align with the testing and the standards. All three should line up.
I saw a video with David Coleman, Ms. Linda, saying that there is no way that that teacher can get away from teaching to the test. And I thought, wow. He's been saying it all along. But anyway, thank you, Ms. Linda, and I've kept you long, but I appreciate it.
No problem.
It just opens up more things because there are so many parts of this, but the bottom line is I think parents need to fight for their parental authority. That is their God-given
yes.
right. And just
yes,
like FOMO who
informed.
Is getting a lesson, you know, we've
yes.
got to remember where rights come from, and we should not let man take that away from us. So we got to fight for those
That's
children.
Right.
So thanks for fighting for them, Miss Linda. So if you don't mind,
well,
I will let you end us in prayer.
All right, Lord, we just thank you, Father, for your mercy, God. We thank you for your goodness, your protection, your provisions, Lord. We thank you for opening our eyes and our ears to hear the truth, Lord, and to be wiser and have more understanding, Father, about what we need to do and where we need to go, Lord, and how we can deal with these situations that seem impossible, Father, but we know nothing is impossible with you, Lord. You are able to deal with everything, Lord. And we just submit ourselves to you, Father, and ask you for your power and might to rise up and take over in these school situations, Father, and bring into the heart of these leaders fear of you, Lord, that they will realize the awesome responsibility that they have and what they put into the minds of the children and what they are leading these children into, Lord. We just ask for this this fear of not obeying you, Lord, that's the beginning of wisdom, Lord, and it's a good thing. And obedience, instead of a rebellious, self-willed heart building just some system that produces what they know not, Lord. We just ask you, Lord, to cause more and more people in the state of Alabama to rise up with wisdom and truth and might, Lord, and be determined to have ownership of their local schools. Responsibility and authority go hand in hand, Lord, and we just ask you to put that into the hearts of the people in Alabama to rise up and stand up with a mighty voice and say, these are our children in our schools, and we will not allow them to be destroyed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Ooh, amen to that, Miss Linda. Thank you so much. We just love you, and again, we are very grateful for all
well,
the
I'm
love
glad.
That you send our way. You come
yeah.
here and
thank
take
you,
so
Diana.
Much time.
Thank you.
All
right.
And we'll
enjoyed
talk
it.
To you again. Okay.
All
Good
right.
Night.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, listeners. Please go to our website, www.cityonhill.tv, and listen to this broadcast and share it with others. God bless you. Good night.